Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Acts as we continue our journey through this book together, chapter 3, as we pick up where we were last week. Last week we began chapter 3, and we had seen an incident that happened as Peter and John were on their way up to the temple on the day of prayer, the time of prayer around 3 in the afternoon, which was the normal custom. They would go up to the temple and pray. And on this particular day, they saw a man there who had been laid by the gate and the entrance to the temple. They had to walk by him to go into the court to pray. And he had asked them for money. You remember the story last week. And he said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have in the name of Jesus, walk. And Jesus said, and through the power of Jesus, Peter and John had healed the man. And his life was changed. And it led those around there to see it, to be filled with wonder and amazement as they wondered what had happened to this man, because they knew he'd been there for over 40 years. And we pick up the story, what happened next, because as this man was healed, a crowd gathered, and Peter and John used this opportunity to share the message of God's word with them, to explain to them what had happened in that event. So let's pick up in chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to him in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can now see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God had fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And he may send the Christ who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. For he must remain in heaven until time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, and many have spoken and foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers when he said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for the power and truth of your word. And I pray that through your word this morning, we would experience times of refreshing from you. That you would send those showers of blessing upon our heart. For sometimes, Lord, our heart and our soul feels parched and dry and barren. And Lord, your purpose and your will for us in creating us was that we would thrive. That our lives would be fruitful and productive and flourish spiritually and in all ways for you. And Lord, in order to do that, we need you to send those showers of blessing and refreshment upon us, that our soul may be refreshed and nourished by you and through the power of your word. So strengthen us and sustain us by your word this morning, that we may be the fruitful and productive, bringing glory to you through the life that we live for you each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a picture of a man named Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham was born on April 2, 1877, in Scottsville, Kentucky. He came from 8 generations of Baptist preachers. And he came to Christ by the time he was 8 years old. And he remembers at that time, he said at nine, he said, I had divine convictions that the Lord wanted me to preach. But after high school, he changed his plans and he went to Ogden College to study law. But he was too young to pass the bar exam, so his plans changed again, and he took a job as a traveling salesman for a grocery company. From 1897 to 1900, a new plan, he was a crew manager and for a pitcher and lodging firm in Chicago. But by the age of 21, he finally gave in to God's plan for him to preach. And in December of 1900, he quit his business. He gave his partner his entire share in his business, and he borrowed money to get started in the Lord's work. For the first 8 months of 1901, he carefully studied and prayerfully read his Bible. In late 1901, Mordecai preached his first sermon, and immediately the Lord started blessing him. He became an itinerant evangelist and led more than 300,000 people to Christ over those years. But during 1 week, in 1934, he was preaching in the town of Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was a 16-year-old boy there who heard his message. That boy returned the second night and gave his life to Christ. That 16-year-old boy was William Franklin Graham, Jr., later come to be known as Billy Graham. Mordecai continued his faithful preaching until the Lord called him home in 1961. But Billy Graham heard the message of Mordecai Ham, and at that revival, he was saved. And the Lord then called him to begin to preach the truth of the gospel. And at his rally in 1949, at his crusade in 1949, as he shared the word of God there, many people came to know Christ. And of those, people named Stuart Hamlin and many other people who come to know Christ through the truth of the word of God that changed their life. The power of the word of God proclaimed through the power of preaching. Mordecai Ham had an associate whose name was Leland Meckley. And Leland Meckley was with Mordecai Ham at the night in Chicago, in Charlotte, when Billy Graham was saved. He was one of his associates who traveled with him there. And Leland Meckley then became an evangelist of his own. And he began to go out and preach as well. And he came into our church when I was just in school, when I was young, and got to know him. And I ended up traveling with him. And I learned a lot from him as I traveled with him in ministry for 6 years, taking the gospel and preaching. And Meck had a lot of different instruments he would play, but he had a saw that he would play. He would play a musical saw, and that saw was used to build the platform for the crusade where Billy Graham was saved at that tent meeting. But through the power of the spoken word, lives are changed. And in Acts chapter 3, we have a recording of one of Peter's first messages. He gave the sermon on the day of Pentecost, but we have in chapter 3 a second of his sermons that he gave. And a result, after the man had been healed, the cripple had been healed for 40 years, and the crowd gathered together, Peter saw this as an opportunity to share the truth of the message of God's word. So when the people gathered together, he shared this message, which we just read, which started in verse 11 and concluded to the end of this chapter. And the message that he brought to them and the truth of the word, that then when people heard it, they were convicted and their lives were changed. And that's the power of God's word. Every time we approach it, every time we read his word and open it up, and the truth of the message penetrates deeply. As I was studying Peter's message this week and reflecting on it in preparation for today, two main truths jumped out of it to me. And as we look at the truth of the Word of God, His truth penetrates and deep speaks into us and can apply in our life. And there's two main truths that spoke to me from this message I want to share with you this morning. That if we could boil Peter's message down to two things, this is what it would say. And the truth of the word of God, when we come to him, reminds us of this. And the first is, it's not about us, it's about him. As the crowd gathered together, it says they were astonished. And all the people came to Peter and John, and they saw this, and they said, "What has happened here?" And Peter and John said, "This shouldn't surprise you." He said, "This wasn't done by our power. This was done by the Lord. And it's not about us. It's about them." And Peter took the attention off of himself and put it on to Jesus. And one of the truths in this message and God's word to us this morning is that we need to be reminded, and God reminds us in his word, that it's not about us. It's about him. And living our life for his glory, for his honor, and not for ourselves. And Peter said, it's about, don't be astonished, don't be surprised. He said, "Why do you stare at us as if our own power and godliness made this man walk?" He said in verse 12. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus. It is by his power and him alone." Because we were reminded this past Wednesday by Del Tackett that it's not about our script. Because see, we like to write our own script. We like to write our own story. And we like to think that we're in charge and we can call the shots in our life. And when we don't get our script fulfilled and we don't things happen the way we want, we get upset, we get angry. But life isn't about us. It's not about our script, it's about his. God created us to live for his glory and to put the focus on him. And because, see, friends, we can often take the credit instead of glorifying him. And Peter said, don't give the credit to us. He said, this happened by the power of God. He said, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus. It is by his power that this man standing before you has been healed." And when God works in your through your life and uses you to bless someone else, or he does something good for you, sometimes we can take the credit, but the credit goes to God. And we can often, through our pride, take the credit for it. There was an undertaker who asked a new local minister to preach a funeral for a person who had no friends and no family or no relatives. He didn't really have too many people. And so the funeral director already felt bad because of the cheap coffin that he was providing for him. So he asked this minister if he would do it. He said, "Sure, I will." So the directions were vague and about 8 miles into a wooded area and set for about 2 p.m. So around 2:45, with a panic, after being lost for 45 minutes, the young minister finally arrives at this location where two men are leaning over their shovels near a hole taking a break. So he thought, this must be the place. So he runs over to the hole. He begins to say a few words till one man said, "Amen." The young minister, feeling proud, begins to preach vigorously. And the second man said, "Preach it, brother, preach it." Finally, after 30 minutes of hard preaching, the young preacher felt so proud and was walking away. One of the men stopped him and said, "Sir, I don't know who you are, but I've never heard in my entire career, I've never heard such a message for burying a septic tank." See, he took the credit. He thought he felt pretty good about himself. But, and often, we can take the credit when God does something through us. And Peter and John says, no, it's not about us. The glory goes to God. And we need to live our life for his glory and for his honor. Muhammad Ali, who considered himself one of the greatest boxers of all time, He always had a saying that he always said. You remember what it was? I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. Well, once he was on an airplane, and as he often did, he said, I'm the greatest. And the flight attendant looked at him and saw that he didn't have a seatbelt fastened. She said, sir, Mr. Ali, you have to fasten your seatbelt. And he responded by saying, Superman didn't need a seatbelt. And the flight attendant said, Superman didn't need an airplane either. You know, we can think too much of ourselves sometimes and realize that all we have is because of God and what he's given to us. And we can take the credit instead of bringing the glory to him. And God created us to live our lives to bring glory to our Creator, to our Lord, and living our life for him. It's not about us, it's about him. And we can deny him instead of denying ourselves. Notice as Peter gave this message, he went on to say, you handed him over, in verse 13, you handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Peter was not mentioning any words here. This was not a politically correct message in any way. I mean, he just brought the truth of God's word. You disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go, and you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. He wasn't mincing any words. But when he said you denied him by Pilate, you disowned the righteous one. I looked up that word disowned, and that word disowned means to deny. And Peter is saying to them, you denied him before Pilate. Now imagine Peter's own thoughts when he was saying that. Because when Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, what did Peter do? He denied him. And he's pointing out to them, you denied him, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Son of God. You denied him when he was with you. And didn't accept him. And we can deny him sometimes instead of denying ourselves. We're told by Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow him. But because we can get caught up in our own script at times and think it can often be about us and not, we forget not it's not about us and not him, we put the temperature on ourselves, we can end up denying him and not ourselves. And our focus needs to be on him. We can also be quick to condemn instead of quick to repent. Because he said here, and I love the play on words in Peter's message, as the Lord was speaking through Peter what he said here, he said, you disowned the righteous one, holy righteous one, and a murderer, and ask a murderer to be released to you. You killed the author of life, and God raised him from the dead. What was he saying? He was saying they were quick to condemn Jesus to death, and instead of being quick to repent, they asked that a murderer or a killer be released. And they killed and murdered the author of life. Get the play of words of what Peter was saying there. He said, you asked for a murderer or a killer to be released, and instead you killed and murdered the author of life. And he was trying to point out what they had done there. And what's he saying is that we can often be quick to condemn instead of quick to repent, because often we are very quick to point out in somebody else the wrong in their life, and we don't acknowledge in our own. Often the thing that upsets us most when we see in somebody else is often a sin that we struggle with ourselves. When we see somebody else doing it, we get really mad and we're quick to point it out at them, but we don't want to deal with it ourselves. That's just human nature. And we're very quick to point it out in somebody else. They were quick to call for the murderer to be released and Jesus to be killed because they didn't want to accept him for who he was. And we can do the same thing. And we can advance our own name instead of exalting his. And Peter reminded him in verse 16, he said, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It was Jesus's name and faith through him that has given this complete healing as you now see. We are to exalt his name, the name of Jesus, to be lifted up and glorified, not our own, but his. The name of Christ, because it's not about us, friends. It's about him. And it's about living for him. The second main point of Peter's message is that when we repent, we experience his blessing. He went on then to say, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what was told through the prophets. But verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That we'd experience the refreshing in our spirit and in our soul. Because when we repent, and that word repent just means to change direction. It means to acknowledge that we're going the wrong way. It means to acknowledge that maybe we made it about us instead of it about him. It means to acknowledge that I'm living for myself instead of Christ. It means to acknowledge that I'm seeking the glory instead of him. And it means to go the opposite direction, to change course. And when we do, we will experience his blessing. And he will pour those showers of blessing upon us. And Peter mentioned several in his message. He said, when we repent, we'll receive the blessing of total forgiveness. He says, repent so that your sins may be wiped out. I love that. He said that when we acknowledge it, God will wipe those sins out completely. And we receive total forgiveness. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins and transgressions from us. And 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Is that what it says? No, it says from all unrighteousness. And he takes those sins away and gives us the blessing of total forgiveness, our sins being wiped out as if they never, ever happened. Isn't that amazing? And that's the blessing of the showers upon you and I. If we repent, if we acknowledge it, and stop living for ourselves and acknowledge him and repent of those things in our life that still may be there. But when we have, and we've asked for that forgiveness, to know that he has totally wiped those out. He no longer holds them against you. He no longer brings them up. He remembers them no more. He puts them in the deepest sea, and they are buried in the sea of his forgetfulness. Not that God doesn't forget, because God knows everything. He just chooses to no longer bring them up against us. He just chooses no longer to lay them and throw them in our face. There's people in our life that we may have wronged, or we may have offended, or we may have hurt. And even sometimes when we ask their forgiveness, there's still sometimes they will throw it in our face and not let us forget it. Did you ever have anybody to do that to you? And they say, I remember when you did that. Thank the Lord, he doesn't treat us that way. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. But in the sea of his forgetfulness, they are buried in total complete. He says, repent so that we will experience our sins will be wiped out. That's the blessing. That's what he is reminding us of, that blessing of total forgiveness. That's why we can rejoice, to know that that is free from us. We don't have to fear standing before God. We don't have to fear someday when we come before him, what's he going to bring up again? It's not going to bring any of that up. It's all gone and forgiven. Praise God for the power of the blood of Christ. The second blessing, and when we repent, is a blessing of spiritual refreshment. He says, repent so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing from the Lord may come upon you. And when we repent and we ask the Lord to deal with, forgive us of those sins in our life, he brings us spiritual refreshment. and he refreshes us. And it's like pouring that fresh rain upon us on a hot day, and we find that refreshment in our life. And sometimes our soul may be parched, and sometimes we feel dry and we feel barren, and the Lord wants us to be fruitful and productive and flourish in our life. And we've been learning that on Wednesday nights. And he wants us to be fruitful and to flourish for him and bring that spiritual refreshment. But sometimes we feel barren and parched and dry. And you say, why, Lord, do I not feel that? We don't go on feelings, but if you're experiencing dryness, maybe there's something in our life or your life or mine that we need to repent of. If you're experiencing, do you need times of refreshment? Is your soul refreshed? If your soul isn't refreshed, maybe there's something in your life that you need to go before the Lord and check those gauges again. Is there bitterness? Is there unresentment? Is there resentment? Is there unforgiveness? Is there anger? Is there something in there that is keeping you from experiencing the refreshing of the Lord? Check those gauges in your life and see. Because if you deal with those, God will bring spiritual refreshment. If our soul's not refreshed, it's saying there's something going on. There's a need there of corrective action that needs to be taken. Because he will bring that refreshment in our soul. It's one of the blessings of repentance. Also, the blessing of future restoration. He says to them, also repent so the times of refreshing may come, your sins may be wiped out, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. And there is coming a day when God gives us, because we know Christ and have repented of our sin and asked for forgiveness and are saved by the blood, of the day of future restoration. And we will share in that day when everything is restored and made right. When the enemy will be destroyed, when all will be restored back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, the way God intended it to be, and we will share in that restoration. We will have new glorified bodies that will never wear out or ever get tired or sick. We will share in that day. And that's our hope that we have, and that's a blessing coming. He said that God will send Christ who will restore everything in him. And boy, that's a wonderful hope that we have, that we live for, that sustains us even now. That when we deal with our bodies that get sick, when we deal with our body, we get up in the morning and have those aches and pains. And we deal with our body and say, no, someday we won't ever have to deal with this anymore. We're going to have that new restored body, where we won't have these struggles anymore. And that's the blessing that we have coming to us because of knowing Jesus and because of what he's done. And the blessing of a glorious inheritance. He ended by saying in verses 24 on, he said, indeed, the prophets from Samuel, as many on, have foretold these days, and that you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenants that God made with your fathers that he said through Abraham. And that we have the blessings of a glorious inheritance, where the scripture says, eye has not even seen or ear even heard all that God has in store for you and me. We can only begin to imagine, but we can never imagine fully the inheritance that is waiting for us, that has been promised to us and is a reality. And how do we know it's a reality? Because the scripture says he has given the Holy Spirit to you and me as the deposit, as the down payment for the inheritance that we're going to receive. And that's our insurance. And that's the promise we have. A glorious inheritance waiting for us in glory. So what is God saying in his word to you this morning? Every time we come to his word and open it up, whether we're reading it on his own, whether we hear his word proclaimed, he is speaking to us his truth. And what is he saying as we respond? And how do we apply it this week? What does he want you to do this week? What correction do you need to take? Read those gauges, because it's not about us. It's about him. It's living for his glory, not our own. It's exalting his name and advancing his name and not ours. It's making his name famous, not making our name famous. And it's realizing when we repent, we will experience those blessings of forgiveness and refreshment. And if you need that refreshment this morning, is there something in your life that you need to deal with? Read those gauges. Is the bitterness, the resentment, the loneliness, the worry, the isolation, those things there? If so, deal with them so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and know that those sins are wiped out forever and are buried in the deepest sea. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for this message from Peter recorded in your word for us. That causes us to look within ourselves as Peter spoke directly to the people and reminded them that they had to get right with you. And that life wasn't about them. And Peter took the glory off of himself and put the glory on you. And Lord, we need to live our life for your glory. That we need to deflect the glory off of ourselves and put the glory on to you. That you created us for that purpose, to nothing other than to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And that when you told us that through those works of righteousness, as we let our light shine and people see those good works, it's not to bring glory to ourselves, but it's to bring glory to you, so that people will be drawn to you and have a hunger and a thirst for you. So Lord, thank you for reminding us of that, because we can get caught up in ourselves. We can get caught up in living for ourselves, and it's living for you. It's living for your glory, not fulfilling our script, but fulfilling yours and your purpose and plan for us. And then, Lord, also reminding us of our need to repent of those things in our life that are plaguing us, the worry, the anxiety, the fear, whatever it is. And when we do, that we get that total forgiveness. We don't have to worry. They're removed from us. And then times of refreshing come from you. And our souls are refreshed in you. And the promise of restoration, knowing that we will be with you forever, and a glorious inheritance is ours. So thank you, Lord, for your word, for its truth that continues to ever speak to us. And Lord, may we not just hear, but take the action that you call us to this morning as we look within ourselves, as we read those gauges of our life, and as we seek, Lord, to apply your word to our truth, that we may become fruitful and productive and flourish as your disciples and as your followers in this day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.